So this is Forrest Elise interviewing Felicia Penza on May 25th at 3:10 for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so if you can take us all the way back to the conception.
Cool. Let's see. The conception was unexpected. It certainly was not planned. It was with a gentleman who I was dating casually, and but we had known each other for over a year. But you know, yeah, it just. The throes of passion, I guess, you know? just always connecting with someone, just physically and hopefully emotionally, is something, there's something profound in that moment. So I guess for me, you know, I definitely remember the moment that it happened, you know, in October of 2009. And yeah, that's it.
Did you get the feeling you were pregnant right away, or how did that reveal itself?
Oh, no. I did not know that I was pregnant right away. I think it was more, for me, I my period rises and falls like the moon. Like, it's, you know, pretty often there's no, you know, TV show where, oh, I didn't, can't believe I was pregnant, or didn't know I was pregnant for 6 months. No, immediately after 30 days happened, I was like, huh, you know, where's Aunt Flo at? So I went and got some pregnancy tests. I remember I was living with my roommate at the time, and it came out very faint and positive. And I remember waking him up at like 4:30 in the morning, and I was like, "No, this isn't a plus sign, is it?" And he said, "No, girl, you pregnant." Just, I was like, "Are you sure? Let's look again." So, you know, it went from me doing that to thinking that after seeing TV shows and so many things that you're supposed to go to the doctor and confirm through a blood test or anything like that. And they're like, no, you're pregnant. Just if that's what you're seeing as a result, I'm like, but they say that there's false positives sometimes. No. Did you have intercourse? Yes. Okay. So I'm pregnant. So that, it was just that. And yeah.
And what was that? So it was 4 a.m. when you, it was very early. Did you go back to sleep or lay in bed just like stare at the ceiling?
Oh no, I waited for like a Planned Parenthood or a clinic to open like at 6 a.m. and was like their first call to say, hi, so I have this pregnancy test here and it's saying positive. Like I was 30 years old at the time. I sounded like a 14-year-old, you know, child. I don't know. The instructions say positive, and that means pregnant, right? So, yeah, they were like, no, you're pregnant. There's no point in you coming down here. You're pregnant. So from there, I, of course, did the thing, which I thought was ridiculous when I would look at different movies where a woman would panic over being pregnant, and by like 15, I'm like, why would you do that? It says that you're pregnant. You're pretty much certain from the first time. But I for some reason thought that, you know, it'd be like Cher, like turning back time, like it would just happen where it would be like, psych, no, that was a false positive. But no, about 3 pregnancies later, and I tried different brands. I was like, okay, let me try the one with the digital screen, because that one is like, that's a $19, you know, pregnancy test. That's serious. They, you know, you're investing the money. They're going to let you know for sure whether or not you're pregnant or not, instead of like the $7 one that I got from, you know, the 99-cent store. So, no, all of them across in every brand read, you know, pregnant or congratulations. And, you know, I just wish that it just, I wish the boxes had much more accurate depictions of people's reactions to pregnancy, you know, just Because my head was just in my hands, like, what did I do? You know, instead of the, yay, Toyota type of, you know, that did not happen. So, but it wasn't like, I wasn't devastated. I was like, okay, especially because I had been pregnant before and terminated 3 times before, and all of them were for valid reasons. Well, I mean, as valid as you can get about terminating a life. I don't want to be insensitive to that, but once I was 18, and then twice I was 25, and I hadn't finished school yet, but, you know, I'm 30 now. I've got a job, got a salary job, I've, you know, got my family around me. Like, there's no real valid excuse other than the fact that I'm not married, and in a traditional sense, this was not the scenario that you're supposed to move forward with when you're with child. So I was like, psh, I can do this. So I think it went from a state of, it wasn't even shock. It was like, it was disbelief for a moment, because I guess I just had that little bit of, well, how did this happen? And, you know. Of course, my funny roommate was like, well, when two men and women really come together and, you know, their bodies connect. And I was like, shut up. You know, I get it. I had intercourse and it brought about a child. So I would, from then on, I thought I was going to be okay, especially because it wasn't a one night stand. It wasn't, although it was something where we weren't in an exclusive relationship, I felt confident enough that he would be present, and that made me feel better. So, yeah.
So, how did you break the news?
I texted him and said we should talk at some time. When are you free? It's not something that you want to talk about over the phone. So he said he was unavailable. So I think the fact that I kept pressing for a date of his availability kept triggering that maybe something was wrong. Because before, because of our casual relationship, it was like, hey, what are you up to? Man, I'm, you know, hanging out with the guys. Okay, hit me up this weekend. No, you're not available Tuesday? Well, what are you doing on Wednesday morning for like brunch? You know, are you available? No? Okay, then maybe we can meet for lunch. Or no, maybe dinner. So he was like, what's going on? And all of this all happened through text, and where I said finally, because it's like, obviously I'm not gonna get you to meet me face to face, so I'm pregnant. And I think that because of our casual situation, that maybe you should get yourself tested, because you assured me that you had a vasectomy. So if that's the case, then we should start arranging for a lawsuit for your doctor, because this is just, I'm not the Virgin Mary here. So obviously something happened that's inaccurate. So either you were dishonest with me or someone was dishonest with you. Either way, I'm not even upset. I mean, it's what's done is done, but the fact that either you were knowledgeable of that or not knowledgeable of that, perhaps you should let your other partners know if that's the case. And he said, well, I have a signed document from my doctor, so I don't think that that's mine. But if you want to go take care of it, I will certainly provide you the money to do that. So you're going to give me money, but at the same time, it couldn't be you. That's silly. So as I, you know, move forward with the process, there were a lot of other things that were revealed to me that, you know, showed his dishonesty. And, you know, that was just the first stage of it. But that was me telling him and him suggesting that I terminate the pregnancy, and me expressing to him that, no, dear, I think that the fact that I've terminated pregnancies 3 times in the past, okay, now I'm just going to burn in hell, like on one of those rotisseries, like, you know, like a pig in hell. So I won't even just be sitting with like a cup of water in hell. I will be on a spit just rotating around so that people can just eat the little pieces of my carcass. Like, that's how badly that would make me feel if I terminated yet another pregnancy. So I'm not going to do that. So I tried to explain that to him, to which he understood. And somehow it transitioned from not having a vasectomy to, okay, now you're not terminating. Well, even if it is mine, the fact that it was not conceived in love is not anything that I'm going to lay claim for or acknowledge. So if you, obviously you're choosing to move forward with this pregnancy, so good luck to you. And that was that. And I just didn't want to, I guess I immediately went into, I won't say survival mode, but once I knew that that parental unit was extracted, I knew I needed to recalibrate my entire game plan. There was no figuring out, you know, visitation or child support or anything. This was all on me. So in the midst of all of that, I guess I just went into survival mode. So that was me telling him.
So how was it, you know, at those beginning stages when you started to actually feel pregnant and then the process of being pregnant? Were there any surprises? What was the experience like for you?
I think I was just, the whole experience of being pregnant was, I regret not savoring it more, because at the time I was working for a magazine in Scottsdale and I was the designer there, but they had been wooed into moving their location to California so that they could be a part of a reality television program that talked about the inner workings of, you know, a magazine, which was really great. But at the time, I was 4 or 5 months pregnant when they decided to relocate to West Hollywood, California. They offered me the same salary to move to California, okay, to West Hollywood, where I didn't know anyone, and where I was still required to work like a 60 to 80 hour work week. So, at, you know, forget daycare or children or anything. Like, everyone in that atmosphere that I was working at the time did not have children. Or maybe they were married, but that was just not a part of the lifestyle or the scene. So me working and, you know, airbrushing, you know, the cover of, you know, this magazine or something like that, I already knew that that period of my life was starting to draw to a close. So the fact that it all ended as I was pregnant, I got laid off at five months pregnant. So I was not only still trying to plan everything, but prep for everything. So I would say that the whole pregnancy experience was a blur for me, but I think the thing that made, that gave me even more of a sense of urgency was me laying in the stirrups, and I was with my girlfriend during my lunch hour to go and get my, you know, ultrasound, and she was my coworker at the magazine I was working at. And the nurse came in and did the ultrasound, and she was like, yeah, this is looking really good, and both heartbeats are really steady. And I said, my baby has 2 hearts? And she said, no, dear, that's twin A, and that's twin B. And that's how I found out that I was having twins. So my girlfriend co-worker's account is that for the rest of the doctor's visit, I just kept muttering to myself, what am I going to do with 2 babies? what am I going to do with two babies? You know, so for me, I wish in hindsight that I had waited to tell people, but I was so panicked and wanted everyone to know so that they knew, like, nah, when the baby shower comes, you need to buy double of this. Like, don't get just one cute dress. You need to get, you know, multiple things for me, because you already know I'm doing it by myself and now I'm having two children. So, alert to the masses, I'm having twins. And I just wish I could have surprised everybody in hindsight. And just, I guess, you know, we'll get to the further part of the children actually being here. But girl, if all you have is onesies and birth cloths and diapers and wipes and then food for them to eat, you're good. You don't need a little basin to, you know, give them baths, or the little jumper ridiculous thing you don't need any of that. You just need stuff to change them into when they throw up, and you need to change their diapers and make sure they eat. And if you kept them alive at the end of the day, kudos to you. We don't need cute outfits. I didn't care anything about that once they were actually here. And I just wish that I wouldn't have been in panic mode. But for me, I was taking on the role of not only the daddy to make sure that all of my finances were in order. I didn't have time to be the mama just, oh, she kicked. Do you want to come and fit? No, we don't have time for that. Do we have the bassinet yet? Do we have the stroller? How much is it? Let me go online and make sure I'm getting the one that's the most safe but still the most inexpensive. What should I register for? Like, for me, when it comes to panic mode, like, some people run around with like a chicken with their head cut off, and for me, logistics soothe me, and I guess that was the only way that I knew how to deal, was just to try and plan as much as I could, which is ridiculous because you can never plan for a baby, let alone two.
Did that planning also go on to your birth process? Like, were you thinking about that, or was it like, did you always know I was going to go in the hospital and blah, blah, blah?
I would have to say that me losing my job, well, being laid off, was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. And let me tell you why. Because the state paid for everything. So the fact that I had a multiple birth, so I could elect to have a C-section because I had a high-risk pregnancy. So already, I was like, sign me up for that. Let's do the C-section, because I'm not trying to push. I'm not doing that if I don't have to. But it turned out that just trying to plan the birth and all that stuff, I just thought everything was set up from there. I didn't have preeclampsia. I didn't have high blood pressure, which I was concerned about because I'm a curvy girl. So I didn't know whether or not that those health choices and the fact that I am overweight was going to be something that impacted my children. So I did try to walk, you know, when I could. And I just chug-a-lugged water and with ice, which I hate ice, like, normally, but for some reason, I was just craving ice and water and cran apple juice and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like, whenever it was accessible to me. Just no. So, I would have to say, as far as planning, yeah, there was the preparation, but the hospital, I just knew that the doctors were going to do their job and that everything would be cool there. So I didn't really worry about that part so much. It was more the building up to it. And the fact that during my pregnancy, it was 2010, man. I don't know. Pinterest wasn't booming back then. You know, it wasn't, I mean, iPads were still like $1,400, you know. So it just, now everything is so accessible with your phone and downloading and stuff like that. I wish that there was just a better account of my journey as I was pregnant, because, you know, I know there was a lot of blogging back in 2010, but nothing like what there is now. Like, I think in hindsight, I would have had like a webisode every day of just my whole pregnancy experience. But I didn't have a lot of pictures. I didn't like for people to take pictures of me. I was a little ashamed because of just people asking, you know, oh, you're pregnant, so who's the father? And I guess I didn't realize how rude that is to ask. I'm sorry, but it's just, wait for me to tell you my story instead of you being so blatant. You know, obviously it's something very personal, or I mean, we're friends, or we're at least acquaintances. If you haven't seen a gentleman caller around, then obviously, you know, this wasn't the scenario that I was hoping for. So let's retell it while I'm pregnant and already emotional and make you feel better to be in the know about my story about this guy completely, you know, disappearing into vapor. That's cool, you know? So it wasn't fun being pregnant. It was just stressful, and I felt like the only thing I could do was plan. I was living with my mom at the time and just trying to save money and just prepare as much as I could. So that's it with that.
Can you describe the sensation of carrying twins? Like, I can't even wrap my brain around.
If you've, and I don't even know if I can say her name on here, but if you've ever watched the movie Aliens with Sigourney Weaver, that is what it felt like to me. Like, people, I curse every movie that has pregnant women in them, because it's, or, you know, that's unfair, because some people really feel that connection. Or I think, like, even when I was in the stirrups and I was, you know, going to confirm my pregnancy, and, you know, like, you'll see on TV where they say, oh my God, that's the heartbeat, and oh, the flutter, and I'm like, okay, you know, and, you know, oh, I saw the flutter, I heard the heartbeat and felt immediately connected to them. That did not happen for me. And so that didn't happen either. It just felt really strange and foreign, and like, you know, just to see a foot, like the imprint of a foot just move across your tummy, I felt like an alien was about to burst through my belly like Sigourney Weaver. That's the best way to describe it. That's how it felt to me. It was just very foreign and strange, and I just felt like I just had gas all the time. I peed all the time. All the time. Like, even when I tried to, you know what, I'm not going to drink this, you know, cup of water, because immediately I'm going to have to get up. And I felt bad because all my friends had to literally forklift me, you know, off of every, you know, sitting position possible so that I can go to the bathroom all the time. You know, it's just, so I felt like I was inconveniencing them, and they were just regaling and telling me I was glowing. I was like, I'm hot. I'm sweating. I'm not glowing. That's sweat coming out of my pores. Stop trying to make this a beautiful experience, because it is not. So that was that.
This has definitely been an interesting process, because I had a lot of difficulty with my pregnancy, and then some moments of giving birth and then still feeling a little disconnected. And
yeah.
I didn't have that like rush of tears and, you know, and so, but it is something that you almost have some guilt about, because there is this projection of, you know, women, you're right, like glowing and caressing their bellies and talking to their future babies and having this sort of connection that sometimes it's like, what's wrong with me? Why am I, you know, I'm not in that same headspace.
Right.
But this has been a great opportunity for women to hear all kinds of experiences, and then to have that to relate to them, like, I'm having that same experience, and, you know.
Totally.
So thank you so much for being willing to share your perspective on the experience.
Of course, yeah.
So as the date started to get closer, how did, like, the whole scheduling go? Did you just pick a birthday, you know?
My due date was August 23rd, if I wanted to give birth naturally. But August, it was just a matter of the doctor and the scheduling. And she was like, I'm available on this day. I was like, cool, I think my mom's off that day, so we'll just do it for August 3rd. That sounds good. And it happened to be my my favorite aunt's birthday. So, it just all worked out for that day. I think it was a Tuesday.
Did you have that sense of, like, I'm going to walk in there as, like, one person and come out as three, in a way?
I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen. Yeah. I knew that I was going to be a mother, but I didn't know what that meant as I was going into the hospital. It just felt like I was going in for a procedure, and I knew what the ultimate result was going to be, but it just didn't feel real. It just felt like we were pretending a little bit, like I was a part of some exercise, and instead of a pet rock, it was just something, you know, that they, like, inserted into me, and it was like, okay, now we're gonna have this fake baby come out of you. Psych! It's all just a joke, you know, like Joe Schmo or something on Spike TV. I guess I was just still kind of, it was just all surreal.
Can you describe that experience of the C-section? Some people talk about the medication and the process being weird.
Well, I remember being pissed at my mom because that's another thing. During my whole pregnancy, in my mouth, it was the taste of metal just the whole time. So I basically, other than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, cran apple juice and water, I sucked on peppermints all the time. Like, I just bought them in bulk and just popped one in my mouth whenever I needed them. So the date of my birth, of my children's birth, we were driving to the hospital, and I was like, I need a peppermint in the worst way. And she's like, well, the doctor said not to eat anything. I'm like, woman, you know, this is not a steak that I'm eating. It's a piece of peppermint. Like, I feel like I'm gonna throw up. So give it to me. So we basically argued about it the whole time. And as they were prepping me for the surgery and everything like that, I was just pissed at her the whole time, which is a really great state of mind to be in. But, you know, like, play pissed off. But, you know, we were fine. But so are you ready to hear about the birth, the actual birth? Okay. So all the doctors came in. You know, there were different doctors at certain points taking my blood pressure and just checking the heart rates of the kids. They put these, like, two belts on my stomach just to monitor both of them. And, oh my God, I was so huge. And my tits were so huge. Jesus. Like the size of a medicine ball. I'm not kidding. Not even a basketball. A medicine ball that you just lunge towards someone's head and you just duck because it's just lethal. It was very unpleasant. But, so I remember getting, the little, netted hat put on my head. I remember being wheeled into the operating room. It was cold, but I'm always cold. But in particular, hospitals are always cold. It was just a hue of blue that was around me. It was maybe about four or five people that were in the operating room. And they let me know that they were going to administer a needle into my spine. So there was someone behind me, and then there were two kind of flanking me just to make sure I didn't jerk back or react a certain way, and somebody right in front of me just to give me support and just talk me through the entire process. So that was comforting. But then the needle was administered, and which wasn't like excruciatingly painful. It was just like, ow. And then immediately I started to feel my heart race. So I'm not sure. I think I'm not allergic to anesthesia, but I'm just very sensitive to it. Because immediately I just started to hyperventilate. And this has happened in like dentist office, like when I get my wisdom teeth out or whatever, like, and they tell you not to sit up when that happens. They prefer that you keep laying down, which doesn't help because I just feel like someone is suffocating me right in my throat. So as that started to happen, I heard like an alarm or a siren go off, and then I started to drift off. And then when I woke up, there were two babies like on the side in this little carrier right here, like in this little glass table, getting weighed and all this stuff. So I don't remember anything else. So my mother's account of what happened was, because they were wheeling me in, they were letting my mother know that I was getting administered with the anesthesia, and then telling her to put on the, you know, scrubs and all of the things that she needed to be appropriate to go into the operating room. And apparently my son's heart rate started to drop. So I'm not sure if it was because of the anesthesia or why. He was already a little underweight throughout my pregnancy. And I guess my daughter had been eating all of the food. So it was already a concern, which is why I wanted to do the C-section. I didn't want something to go wrong where I'm in labor for, you know, 18 hours and they say, oh, well, the cord's wrapped around her neck, so let's do a C-section really quick. I was like, no, I'm not doing all that. You know, let's just err on the side of caution. Let's just get her out of there and be done with, or get them out of there and be done. So Grayson's heart rate started to drop. And so somebody ran outside and said, your grandson's about to be born in 10 seconds. Get in here. So according to my mom, she walked through the doors and she said that she saw the inner workings of her daughter just lifted up and moved over and saw Grayson being lifted up and crying and was a little blue. And she said the doctor paused for a moment as he was being lifted up and looked back at my mom to see whether or not she was freaking out, because my intestines, like all of me, was just out there for her to see. And when she saw that my mom was not like going ballistic, she went back to what she was doing, and somebody guided my mom over to sit right near my head. So from then, Isabella's cord was wrapped around her neck, so I'm glad I did not go the way of just waiting it out or anything like that. So they cut the cord and lifted her out maybe 2 minutes later. So Grayson was born at 9:32 and Bella was born like at 9:34 or 9:35. I know it was a 3 minute difference between the two of them. Bella was 6 pounds, 8 ounces, and Grayson was like 5 pounds or something. Or maybe 4 pounds something, because for a moment they almost did not release him from the hospital because he had not gained the appropriate amount of weight for the 4 days that we were there following the birth. So for me, there's photos, and I'll show them to you, of me looking like with the, you know, gown and on the operating table. I'm looking at them. I don't recall that, but apparently I looked at them, you know, as they were shown to me, and then was wheeled out immediately to recovery. And I just remember for a split second waking up and seeing them flanked to my left as they were being weighed and wiped down and all that stuff. And then I fell back asleep. So I really didn't wake up and meet my children until we were in my actual hospital room. And it just made things worse for me for a while because I was already detached from it. Not to say that I wasn't happy about it. I wanted these children. I chose these children. I knew that I was responsible for taking care of them. I knew that I would love them because my mother loves me. It's just a mother's love is unconditional. But those feelings did not come right away for me. And I think that how they came into the world impacted my dynamic with them for quite a while. To just fall asleep and then have these two people that I was just responsible for, it just felt like I was babysitting for a while, especially given the fact that although my father had children from a previous marriage, my siblings are all in their late 50s right now, and I'm 36. So I essentially grew up an only child because I'm the only product of my mother and father being married. So my father had a past where he was a sex offender. There was nothing that he did to me, but those situations in my childhood limited me from having sleepovers and having girlfriends come over my house because I'm living in Iowa in a small town where everybody knows that my father is the sex offender. So it just limited my relationships and it limited my opportunity to babysit or interact with small children. And I didn't have any little brothers and sisters. So this was all new territory to me, man. Like, other than me babysitting my niece and nephew a couple of times, I had no experience with babies at all, let alone two at the same time. So, you know, I went to the breastfeeding classes ahead of time, which my brother teased me for. He was like, the kid's going to find your tit and do what it needs to do. But that is not the case, especially when it comes to having two children at the same time. I tried the whole holding them with as footballs and cradling them with the little half moon pillow thing so that I could prop them up. But here's the thing that happens with tits. Sometimes the milk comes in on one side and it doesn't on the other. Both of these fools are hungry right now. What are you supposed to do? You know, you can't alternate. They both need to eat. So I must have breastfed for about a week before I said, fuck this shit, and went and got formula immediately, which, again, the blessing of me losing my job was having WIC and being able to get those canisters, which they ain't cheap, honey, to get those canisters of formula. When I got some that just lasted like a week or whatever, it was like $70 or $80, like $15 per can. Oh my God. So things happened the way they needed to in that realm. I feel blessed in regards to that. I did have a lot of supportive friends that like really helped out as far as getting me the car seats and the diapers and all that stuff. But when it came to like the tub or whatever, and you know, it just washed them in the sink, and you know, there was just some simple things that I learned on my own. But I would just have to say, in the hospital, it was just tough because I didn't know what they needed when they cried. And you know, I had these nurses coming in and they instinctually knew what to do. And one nurse pissed me off, though, but it was just because she was from another culture where she was just lifting the baby and handling them with such, it wasn't aggressive, but it was just very, like, I just thought of them as porcelain. And this woman was handling the baby like a football. And so that made me get a little more confident about it and maybe not take everything so, make everything so, such a precious moment. So there was that. I don't know how in detail you want me to get about the fact that the catheter was still in me, you know, for the 3 or 4 days, and it wasn't until they removed it on the last day. And I remember wearing the netted, you know, humiliating panties that they have with these huge gargantuan pads. Like, they might as well just get you some Depends and let you just push on with it. But I remember that. I remember once I finally did get the catheter out, trying to take a poop and couldn't do that. And I think the thing that resonates for me was maybe the night before I left. Isabella had woken up. She's always been an early bird. And it was like maybe 4 a.m. Grayson, he'll sleep until you wake him up. So that was good. But she and I were just watching TV and she was in the boppy pillow. And maybe I was just still delirious or tired, but I could have sworn that she just looked right at me. And then I looked at her and it's like, what's up, chick? You know, it was just the first time that I felt some sort of connection to them. And that was about it.
How was the scar and the recovery? Were you nervous about that? You know?
No. I know that every time that people made rounds and they in the morning and kept checking, or even my brother checked my scar because he stayed with me the first night that the babies were born. And they kept saying that the scar looked so great, you know, that you could barely see it. And my mother had a C-section with me when I was born, and it was different because for me, they sliced me horizontally, but for her, they sliced her vertically to where there's still an indentation, you know, that I see even when, you know, she's getting undressed or whatever. And just, I was grateful for that, you know, just for it to not be so obvious. But no, everybody said the scar looked great. And I was like, thank you. I healed it myself. I don't know what you want me to say. So there was that. There was a little bit of regret around, like, I look at, like, Beyonce, when she had all these curlers in her hair as she was going into the hospital. Like, if you Google it, she was getting all prepped so that way when she had the baby she looked like totally glamorous and beautiful. I didn't know that I needed a freaking makeup squad because these are fucking keepsakes. This is the first family portrait and I look like shit right now. I didn't think about doing my hair. Like, I had my hair cut in kind of like a mohawk like it is right now, except my hair wasn't natural in the middle. It was relaxed, so it was just all matted and gross. And I wasn't allowed to wear my contacts because they need to be able to do something in the surgery where they need access to your eyeballs, you know, for anesthesia purposes. So I was wearing my glasses. I didn't have any makeup on. My nose was like the Jackson 5, like it was the Jackson 25. It was just so wide and not sexy. And, you know, I remember reading in parents' magazines where they're like, you know, buy your own hospital gown. I'm like, that's stupid. But in hindsight, to have on this blue rag that's like just hanging off my shoulders, I wish I would have looked prettier, you know, for all of those people to come and visit me and, you know, say congratulations. A lot of people came and I just look, you know, it was just not the keepsake, but it's not, I can't do a do-over. It's there. That's what it is. And, this is an important part. So after the children were born and I first did meet them, my daughter was as white as snow. Now, their father is African American. He's a little lighter skin. Like I would say, he's like a hazelnut latte, you know, to my like darker chestnut. But she was as white as this paper. And I have curly hair, so does the father. But she had slick jet black hair. So for me to have fallen asleep and then to have woken up with these two people, now I'm already starting to question whether or not that's my daughter because she looks like a little Japanese baby. So I nudge my mom. I'm like, hey, you was here for this, right? This is like the same tag. This is not like a switcheroo like we saw in like Punky Brewster back in the 80s or something like that. She's like, no, that is your daughter. She said, I thought it was a little strange too, but you know, eventually she did, you know, reflect a complexion that was a little more African-American than Asian. But yeah, that just made it a little more detached as well and pissed me off to not know without a shadow of a doubt that that was my daughter there. It was just, I'll pull up the picture. White as snow, girl. I mean, against my chest, just white. So, yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, we should wrap up soon because you have to get going.
Oh, okay.
But can you say a couple things about home life? Like that, you know, just having the two little ones, was your mom a big help? Like,
was the... Mom was a huge help. Yeah, especially because it felt like in the womb they had like a secret meeting where they were like, okay, when we get out of here, I'm going to fall asleep at 2. And then you're going to wake up at 2:10, right? And you'll be hungry. And then mom will feed you and then you'll burp and then you'll start to fall asleep. So everything will be all good until about 3 a.m. And then I'm going to get up because I need to poop now, so she needs to change me. It's like they had their own regimented schedule that made it clear that they did not want mom to sleep for like the first 5 or 6 months. They just did not want to do that. So I would have to say that after about 5 months or 6 months is when I really started to feel a connection to them. Maybe as the, you know, weaning off from sleep deprivation where, you know, I could actually contemplate, you know, what I was doing and starting to get into a routine a little bit. I think it was the fact that their personality started to show a little bit. Like I would know that, you know, Bella really likes sweet potatoes, you know, and that Grayson hated ice cream, and just to know some of those things and start to identify what their personality traits were really started to help me build a closer connection to them. That was really helpful. But no, I did have a lot of help from my mom for the first couple of months. And then I got a job offer at Nike and decided to move to Oregon when my children were 3 months old. So that was stupid. So newborns, new job, new town. I did have some surrounding family that helped out every now and then. But it a year later, I was just homesick and ended up quitting like the best job ever. But it made me realize that I needed more of a support system and just family around that were able to help and able to love them and spend time with them. And I really feel like we moved back in 2011, and I feel like it was just the best decision I ever made was moving back. And they're great. They're great kids. Bella's inquisitive and emotional like her mama, and Grayson is just like, she's such a boy and she's such a girl, and in the traditional sense, which is too bad for my best friend, because while I was pregnant, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I was like, I refuse to have a baby shower where the theme is pink and blue, because at that time I knew that it was a boy and girl. And I was like, look, I'm an artist, okay? I'm not going to have my children subjected to the hue of my daughter being pink and my son being blue. That's not fair to them. They are individual people. And I must have been crazy. But my poor best friend had to put together a green and yellow themed baby shower where it was requested amongst all the attendees to not bring anything that was pink or blue. I was such a bitch. Seriously. So much so, and I'll show you the painting that I did, because I was trying to, again, control everything logistically. And she was like, you know what? Here's some canvas and an easel. Why don't you paint something that will signify the birth of your children? And then everybody can sign it when they come through. I was like, that's a good idea. I'll do that. So I have a painting of two peas in a pod. And then every attendee who came to the baby shower signed it. And so the painting's right in there. I'll show it to you. But, yeah, they're two peas in a pod, and we are the three musketeers for sure. That's the three of us. But I have help from so many people and so many people that love them. And, you know, sometimes I still try to do it all by myself because I don't want to burden anybody, because it was my decision. It was my choice to bring them into the world, and I don't want to, you know, inconvenience anybody. And you know, that's my pride talking, but I love them. We're family.
Okay, last question.
Okay.
So you were 30 when you got pregnant.
Yes.
At that point, had you kind of been like, if it happens, it happens, if it doesn't, it doesn't? Or had you thought maybe you were going to have children in the future or not at all?
Oh, I knew I wanted to have children. I just at the time I was just breaking up with somebody who I considered the love of my life. So I had contacted the children's father just for, you know, it just makes me feel better to have a little revenge sex, you know, just to feel better about myself after being devastated. And I mean, that breakup kind of rocked me, which is why the children's father questioned whether or not he was the father, because he knew that I had just got done, you know, being in a relationship with the other guy. But the other guy had a paternity test as soon as the children were born, and he was not the father. So it's like, okay, process of elimination, you know. So I contacted the father one more time just to let him know, like, you know, I had twins. He's like, wow, twins, congratulations. Good for you. Good luck to you. Please don't contact me again. And that's kind of how it went. But no, I had always planned to have children. I thought maybe I wanted more, just in case I got into a relationship with someone, you know, even now. And, you know, if he didn't have children, then yeah, I'll have a baby for you, you know. But it wasn't in the cards. It happened when it needed to happen. Like, I don't know what my life would have been like if I had gotten to this point of being 36. We already know the risks start at 30, you know, and I wouldn't have wanted to be here trying desperately to get pregnant and have a child now, you know. It's brought about a lot of twists and turns, but I'm glad I had them when I had them. It needed to happen the way it did.
So I think we'll stop. I don't know what happened with this for two.
Yay.
I did it twice, and then I think I messed it up. Now it's recording again.
Yeah.